holding steady now at just about 19 degrees. And in studio with us right now, once again, Janine Cavanaugh. Good morning, Janine.
Morning, Dom. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to see you again. The Helpful Organizer is back with us today.
Thanks, yes.
As people may remember, you were here not too long back in the past. A little background on who Janine Cavanaugh is.
Sure. Well, I started my business in 2008, and I'm a certified professional organizer. So what I do is I help people in their homes on any organizing project they want. It could be organizing, it could be decluttering, it could be downsizing, it could be preparing for a move or settling in from a move, any project that they want help with. And I work with them one-on-one on that type of project.
And as you said, now this is your eighth year going on. Excuse me. So congratulations on that.
Thanks.
You're also a member of the chamber.
I am, yeah. Yeah, I pretty much have been a member the whole time I've been in business. Mm-hmm. I find that it's very beneficial, and it gives me some credibility. And also lets me know about other businesses in the community and, you know, ways that I can help in the community. So,
you know, I've been a longtime member of the chamber myself, and both of us, I think, as well as Jack Lank can say this all the time, a great thing to do is when you go to some of these after-hours businesses, networking. I mean, in your business as well, networking is perfect. Now, have you had any success in that in the past with, you know, with networking with other clients?
Yes, I find that, you know, the word of mouth is a great way for me to get business because people are, you know, willing to do business with someone they know, first of all, and someone they have a little bit of rapport with, and they get to know me a little bit better and feel like they can trust me and respect me, so then they're more willing to do business or refer business. I actually do get a lot of business from classes I teach as well. And I get a lot of business from other organizers that specialize in different things than what I do. So that's one way to do it.
You're teaching classes. You have you can go. There is a link to your website, helpfulorganizer.com.
Yes.
How can people get in touch with you besides going to, on the website?
They can, you know, call me directly, obviously. Or, you know, I do belong, again, to the chamber.
Sure.
So they can contact me through the chamber. And I'm also a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers, so they can find me on their website. Mm-hmm. And they have a New England chapter, so they can find me on that website as well.
You know, as far as organization and decluttering, you know, people's homes and stuff, you do work with a homeowner.
Yes, I do.
So at some point, I think we mentioned this last time, a homeowner has to be there or not doesn't have to be there at certain times if you're decluttering the people's homes.
Typically, it works that I work together with them, so they have to be there. The idea is that, you know, we're organizing and you know, making their space more livable and functional for them. So they have to have their, I mean, I need their input in order for them, for us to reach that goal. So we work together. So, you know, it could be that we're working side by side, maybe doing similar things or the same thing, or working towards one collaborated goal. But oftentimes, the more I work with someone, then it's more like an accountability partner as opposed to, you know, a specific project. Like I have a couple of ongoing clients that have, you know, issues where they just need to keep up with what's coming in. So we meet like once a week or once every other week to collect the mail, go through the mail, process the mail, pay the bills, and collect anything that they've purchased or things that need to be returned or taken care of in that regard. Other things, it could be, you know, just daily things that kind of accumulate, you know, so cleaning up, picking up from the household or the family or them particular, so.
Do you see a lot of repeat customers or on and off every once in a while, some of the same people?
It tends to fall into a couple of different categories. One is that repeat customer that wants that accountability, and that is, you know, again, a repeat customer.
Right.
So, you know, it could be that I would work with them on one specific project, and then they call me back. So when they want, you know, kind of like to reclaim that order, because, you know, life happens, mess happens.
Sure.
It just happens.
Yeah.
And then there are other people that have a specific project in mind. And so they are either moving, so they want to kind of reduce or downsize before they move. So they want some help making decisions, figuring out where to donate things, how to get rid of things, pass it on to someone that might use it. I have a lot of resources, so they want help with that. Or it could be, you know, some specific project like they're ready to reclaim the garage, you know, so they want help organizing and kind of reducing, getting rid of stuff so they can use that space the way they want to use it.
When you get a sale, you know, when you get someone, you know, contacting you, do you do it by yourself? Or, I mean, is it a project that you do yourself or do you have a few other people that are working with you?
I have done projects with other organizers or other people that I know, but pretty much it's usually by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, we work again. A lot of times, you know, if there's some heavy lifting, they might have someone in the family or their husband might help them. Often I do work with the women and the mothers of the household.
So. The other thing is now, as you said, you, you know, downsizing. And now, of course, now with getting into the bad weather here and there, you know, with some snow, hopefully we don't see a lot of it. But unfortunately, I think we're just starting it now. Now is a time, is a good time to do it because this is organizational month, basically. Get Organized Month. Explain a little bit about what Get Organized Month is.
Well, Get Organized Month was something that initiated with the National Association of Professional Organizers. The idea was often people make New Year's resolutions pertaining to organization in some form, shape, or another. And so we wanted to encourage people to use this time, you know, especially if they're indoors, to organize their space and make it more livable and functional for themselves and their families. And the National Association kind of like wants to encourage people to do that during January, which is Get Organized Month. It just so happened that last year in Massachusetts, our New England chapter of the National Association went through the whole process of getting it actually a Massachusetts claimed, you know, in the state of Massachusetts, it is Get Organized Month. So,
now you said the national. Is it they have a? Where is the main headquarters for them?
The main headquarters is run out of New Jersey, and there are like 4,000, about 4,000 organizers and productivity specialists as part of NAPO National, and then we have about I want to say 35. I'm not sure if that's the right number, chapters throughout the United States. So you belong to a chapter, and that way you can get support, get training. We meet once a month in Waltham for the New England chapter. There's also New Hampshire chapter, Connecticut chapter, New York chapter, obviously. Right. So, yeah.
How does someone get involved in that? I mean, I'm thinking you've got to maintain your own living space and other, you know, whatever. But, you know, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's house, you know, is perfectly how they like it. And so, you know, sometimes, it gets a little bit messy here and there at certain times of the year. But if someone really wants to get involved, how can they?
In the National Association?
Yeah, the National, and also doing something like you do as well. Like if, you know, somebody's, you know, wants to get up tomorrow morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to be an organizer, you know, but I can't even organize my own house, but maybe I can do it some, you know, you're not a professional maid or this and that. That is no way in that way. You are an organizer. You organize and make living spaces neater, and you know where things are going and stuff like that. So if somebody wakes up tomorrow or next week and they say, you know, maybe this is something I can do. Are you seeing people who have some time, like retired people doing this?
Yeah. Often, well, the National Association has been in existence since 1985. Okay. So it's not necessarily a new profession, but it is becoming much more popular, and we're seeing a lot of growth in the profession. How I started was I went to a NAPO chapter meeting mm-hmm. and was introduced to the profession that way. And then the National Association offers three classes for new or potential organizers. If they are interested in this and they want to pursue it as a profession, mm-hmm. they can take these three classes and get more information. And also our New England chapter offers new organizer, we call them new organizer workshops. And that is separated into two separate time frames, and one pertains to like running an organizing business, okay. and the other is about organizing as a profession. So that's a great way for anyone to start, and that's how I started. Mm-hmm. I found that, you know, it was really helpful to have those knowledgeable people, you know, kind of mentoring you and tutoring you and giving you some good solid advice to move forward.
The one thing that I heard you saying about downsizing, I know in the past we have done this. My dad did this before years ago. Downsizing different places, especially if you want to, like you give your vehicle like to the Salvation Army, and I know that that is something else. I'm sure that you've worked with people like that. So, you know, they want to give it to certain charities.
Right. Often that's a big motivator mm-hmm. to get rid of things, is to know that it's going to someone that could really use it mm-hmm. or an organization that could really benefit from, you know, the donation, or even a specific individual. You know, the idea is that you don't want it, you're not using it, you're right. not getting any benefit from it, so why not give it to someone who could benefit from it? And again, that's the big motivator to, you know, kind of get rid of and clean out. Often what I find too is that, you know, people do have a specific charity right. in mind, but it really comes down to either a charity that gives directly to people in need, or a charity that gives to an organization, or a charity or an organization that then resells what you're donating, mm-hmm. so that they can then have the funds for their charity.
Also, I'm hearing is, you know, I'm thinking offhand. It's precious heirlooms that people may have, you know, mm-hmm. they have no idea where to give them to, you know, they may want to give them to, you know, their grandkids, their kids, or whoever they want to, might leave it to somebody. You must have to deal with, you know, those, and you have to figure out, that's why it's a good idea for the homeowner to be there, because if you say, you know, they may look at you like, this was handed down, you know, this piece of furniture or whatever, I mean, this piece of jewelry was handed down by my great-great-grandmother. I don't know where to give it to you. What are some of the ideas that some people, you know, what are some of the topics that you see, have you seen in the last 8 years, something like that?
As far as, you know, questions and yeah. where to give things or right. how to,
Have they come up with, you know, some specific heirlooms that, you know, priceless heirlooms especially?
Mm-hmm. Well, if people have specific questions on the value of something mm-hmm. and they're trying to determine whether it's important enough or, you know, valuable enough for them monetarily, then I would connect them with an appraiser. Mm-hmm. And I have worked with a couple of appraisers to let them know, you know, how much it actually is worth. But if it's more of a sentimental thing that right. they want to pass down, one is we'd have a conversation as to whether it really is something of value that the next generation or the person that they're hoping to pass mm-hmm. it down to will appreciate and will, you know, really want, so it's not a burden on the person that you're hoping to pass it down to. Mm-hmm. It's a treasure, right. you know, it's something of value. And, you know, there's always a big distinction sometimes whether, you know, one generation sees it as value and the other generation doesn't. There is a big gap sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we do have to have that conversation, you know, and we might need to reduce. They might want to pass down like a whole house full of things, sure. whereas really there's only one or two items that next generation or their, you know, sons or daughters or grandkids would actually want.
Right. you know, going into the next couple of months, you know, any time is a good time to downsize and to declutter, not just one time a year during your spring cleaning, you know, March, yeah. April, whatever, May. And, you know, you work basically any time people do want you, right?
Yeah, I pretty much work Monday through Friday, and mm-hmm. I make appointments anywhere between 9 in the morning and like 8 at night.
Right.
And it usually falls into people making appointments like in the morning, mm-hmm. in the afternoon, or in the evening, depending on their schedule and their flexibility.
Right.
Yeah, so I try not to work too much on the weekends, mm-hmm. keep the weekends to myself and my family.
Right. So. Now, I mean, here's something that that I was thinking of earlier this morning. I was like, is there a percentage of people out there doing this, you know, who contact you? Have you seen, you know, of course you probably see more females and males, you know, contacting you. And do you see, you know, males, you see the men out there, you know, maybe the wives are working and, you know, and they're trying to declutter. I mean, it kind of in both sexes, you know, they want to declutter this, they want to declutter that, but it's probably more of a female audience that you see.
Well, me in particular, I have worked with male clients, mm-hmm. but pretty much the clients that I'm drawn to, I guess, or are drawn to me, do tend to be single females.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, that's just the demographic that I, you know, kind of target. I find that, you know, I work well with them. And again, they're probably, you know, they're drawn to me for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of people. I mean, there are organizers that work with young moms in organizing the household and all of the children things. Mm-hmm. There are organizers that work with and target more seniors, and I'm actually working towards, you know, targeting more of the senior population, just because, again, the types of projects and the type of help that they need, I'm drawn towards that project, where it's more appealing to me.
See, and as far as seniors, sometimes it may be, you know, the husband and wife are together, or one of them have already passed. Mm-hmm. And they don't know where to turn. You know, maybe
exactly.
If, you know, their kids or their grandkids are either living close by or they're not living around this area,
yeah.
That must sometimes makes it difficult for them. You know, what do I get rid of? What do I, you know, I know, you know, you can give it to, you know, that's what, you know, if they have a lawyer or something like that. But most of the time, you know, if it's something like that they've had all their lives in their home, whether it be a piece of furniture, whatever it is, sometimes you must get some questions about, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. You know, what do I do? So what do you say to someone out there, you know, if it's a lady out there who lost her husband some years ago or recently, you know, basically they want to declutter this, you know, but it's also, this was my husband's favorite chair or something like that. Yeah, you can give it to a charity or something like that. But if somebody doesn't want to part with it.
Right. Well, again, I mean, it's all about their goals and what they do want, you know. So we try to concentrate on what they do want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it is just a matter of having an objective perspective and saying, you know, okay, so if you don't want to get rid of this chair, what are some of the options that mm-hmm. we could do? You know, how important is it to you? I mean, are you going to have a space for it? Are you hoping to downsize and reduce? And is this one of the things we could reduce? Or is there ways that we can then still keep the memory of the chair and not the chair itself, you know, by taking a picture or in explaining the story of the chair and why it was important and why it was his favorite or where he got it or, mm-hmm. you know, what it meant to him in that regard. And then, you know, kind of let the chair go. Also, you know, again, thinking of someone that might really appreciate it.
Sure.
So if it's someone that could then say, oh, well, I understand the value of this chair or what it means to you or what it did mean to him. In that way, you can then, you know, pass it on to them and they
And of course, it's up to them. Of course, if they, you know, work with you, they may even turn around even then or after you leave. They may say, all right, you know something, it didn't mean that much, whatever, and then they'll put it outside for your yard sale,
right.
You know. But that's their call, of course.
It is, definitely. Yeah, I'm not there to police them or to make them do anything they don't want mm-hmm. to do or cause them any more stress or frustration. Because people usually call me when they're stressed or frustrated or overwhelmed with their situation. They're not sure where to begin or how to start or what those tough decisions or how to, you know, make those tough decisions. So they want, you know, like a sounding board. They want someone who can give them some solid advice without, you know, getting too emotional about it.
Right. All right. Janine Cavanaugh is with us. She is the Helpful Organizer. You can get more information on her website, helpfulorganizer.com. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with Janine in just a few moments.
Hope Artiste Village, located on Main Street in Pawtucket, is the place to be on Saturdays throughout the winter season. Local vendors will be available from 9 till 1 p.m. at the Pawtucket Wintertime Farmers Market with a variety of in-season fruits, vegetables, eggs, and so much more. To find out what's up and growing each and every week at the market, visit the web at Pawtucket/wintertime farmers market. Buy fresh, buy local.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The ladies of the Anawan Lions Club will host their annual calendar dance at Hillside Country Club on Saturday, January 23rd, starting with cocktails at 6:30, followed by dinner at 7 p.m. For more information, call 508-824-0534.
So you see, son, good manners are important. Should I go through it again?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open, don't speak with your mouth full, keep your elbows off the table. Share your things, play nice, and generally treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier. And it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Pawtucket Winter Farmers Market will take place on Saturdays from 9 till 1 p.m., starting November 7th, right straight through May 14th. 2016 at Hope Artist Village, located on Hope Street in Pawtucket. Come light, snow, or shine, the Wintertime Farmers Market will be open. For more information, visit the web at hopeartistvillage.com or simply call 401-312-3850.
All right, we are back with you with Janine Cavanaugh is with us this morning. She is professional organizer with her website, helpfulorganizer.com.
I have a question.
We have Paul Healy with a question.
Hello, Janine.
Hi, Paul.
When does a clutter problem get so bad that the best alternative is just to burn the house down and claim the insurance money?
Wait a question.
Yes, yes. Have you ever recommended that?
It's always better after the fire, right?
I guess that's a no. You wouldn't recommend that?
No.
Oh, darn. Okay. Well, I got to do some cleaning then.
There's a natural process to organizing. It's like you create some order, and then I was telling Dom before, you know, life happens, clutter happens, work happens, mess happens, and then you have to reclaim that order. So it's that time between the order and the reclaiming. If it doesn't go on too far, it usually doesn't get out of hand or overwhelming. Yeah. So if you can shorten that gap.
If I still have a box at home filled with articles from the early 80s when I lived in New York from the New York Times and the Daily News.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the days of the interweb, maybe I don't need that box taking up space.
And again, you probably don't. That's a conversation you might need to have with yourself and say, you know, how important is it, or what do you think it is, or how much time do you think you want to spend going through it to figure out if it's important or not?
My rugby uniform from the mid-80s from Miami, which I will never fit into again.
Any holes in it?
Maybe. Threads of the moths have got out of it. Yeah, I have trouble throwing things away. A lot of trouble.
Well, there is always room for sentiment. I tell people, you know, I'm not there, again, to police them or to tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm there to just, you know, help them reevaluate and decide, you know, if it's causing you stress or creating problems, then maybe it's time to...
Oh, it's not causing me stress. It's causing the lovely Carol McLaughlin of the McLaughlin's stress. Yes, my stuff is causing her stress. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you do marriage counseling?
No.
No, darn. Okay.
You're not married.
Well, no, but close enough.
Yeah, there you go. That's
all right. Go get him.
All right.
Nice meeting
Thanks,
you.
Paul.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good question there. Yeah, that's amazing. Like, if a lot of people don't have, you know, they have too much of a sentiment, you know, on certain things, you know, that's where you can come in. That's, you know, where you come in.
Right.
As you said, you got some classes coming in. You know, looking at your website is, I like what it says, certified professional organizer. How can people, first of all, get in touch with you on your phone line?
It's 508-699-6652, and that's my direct business line. Mm-hmm. It is a landline, so that people don't try to text me or, you know, leave any messages that I won't be able to retrieve. So,
but you know, as you said, you can also, you know, email you. You're on Facebook. You're on Pinterest. All these other these social media sites as well. When you're really going through your website, you know, you're talking about the discarding. You got the classes, how to donate things, as you mentioned before. You can also, I mean, also good, you must do pictures. You know, must take pictures, or you take pictures of what looks like before and after.
Yes. I find, again, it's a helpful motivator to stay organized or to kind of reclaim that order. Because often you don't remember what it looked like before. Once you've worked through the process and now you have a beautiful after, or you have a very functional, or it doesn't necessarily have to be beautiful, but it has to be workable and doable for you. So you don't often remember what it was before. So if you can't capture those before and after, sometimes it's really, you know, helpful to stay organized.
The other thing is that you were talking about seniors.
Yes.
You know, seniors are they're set in their ways, as you know. But one thing that I'm thinking offhand, a lot of the seniors now, you know, they may be still living in their own homes. Some of them are, you know, either living in a nursing home or a senior living establishment.
Right.
Do you work with any of those people as well, like at a senior living? Maybe, you know, they've got, you know, they've already decluttered everything else. You know, they may be in a small box in down in the basement or something like that, but they may have to do it again.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, I haven't worked specifically with someone in, you know, assisted living, but senior living, yes. You know, again, it's just sometimes it's a matter of keeping up with what comes into our lives on a regular basis so that the clutter doesn't build and build and build and get out of control or get overwhelming. So it's easy to bring things into our lives and into our spaces. It's not so easy to let it go, you know, for whatever reason. It could be that we just don't take the time, or that, you know, we always had a space to just put it so we didn't have to make that final decision. Or, you know, I tell people, you know, I have to have an exit strategy so that you can get it back out, or you know what's going to happen to it when you're ready to let it go, you know, whether it be go to donation, go to someone else, or just, you know, get, you know, recycled or, you know, trashed.
Yeah, and that basically I'm thinking of when you said that, trashed or, you know, recycled, might, you know, I know some people, they'll re-gift it. You know, they'll do a Yankee swapper thing. You know, they'll be like, oh, maybe I don't want to, maybe I'll give it to this person, but I don't need it anymore. But some of the major charities out there, as I said, you know, Salvation Army, huge organization. I was watching one of the events yesterday for the Martin Luther King Committee over at the Congregation of Gudas Hakim up in Attleboro. And one of the reverends who actually worked on the committee, was working with the committee, and said they were doing their donations, was going to give it to the Salvation Army. And I know that, you know, there's the local establishment here in Attleboro on Mechanic Street, which would deal, they take the cars and everything else,
right.
You know, they all this and that. But there's also a lot of charities out there.
Oh, I mean, there definitely is, yeah. And they basically, you know, again, like fall into two categories. One is that they, you know, resell what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure it's resellable. So like Savers, Big Brother, Big Sister, St. Vincent de Paul, Salvation Army, Goodwill. Those are stores because, you know, again, they're reselling what you've donated, and then the proceeds help their organization. Often I go to Savers. They're connected with a nonprofit. So not only do the, you know, help their store and run their store, but it goes to a nonprofit. So each Savers location is connected with a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. The one in North Attleboro is connected to the Epilepsy Foundation. Right. The, you know, one in Dedham, I think, is the Big Brother, Big Sister, or I think it's Norwood, not Dedham. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, each one is connected with a different charity. But then you have the charities that will give directly to families in need. So there's like Cradles to Crayons. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of them.
I have.
It's a lot of children's products and clothing and all of that.
I worked with Cradles to Crayons up in the Norwell office up there. I used to, when I worked with Comcast, I actually did some work up at the Norwell office, and right down that road, whatever street that is, 135 or 35, there was a main building of Cradles to Crayons. And actually what they did every single year, that was one of their main charities for their Comcast Cares Day.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the main stores and the main place that I had to be every single year. And I did that for 5 years. And that, and they still do that every once in a while. But that's another place, you know, Cradles to Crayons.
Yeah, My Brother's Keeper. I don't know if you've heard of them
in
Easton. Yep. And again, they give directly to people in need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other organizations like that that will give directly to people in need. The Mass Coalition for Homelessness gives directly to people in need. So again, those are some big organizations, but there's lots of smaller ones too. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Project Smile. And Birthday Wishes. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. They celebrate birthday parties for homeless children and people and individuals.
Oh, what a nice idea.
A
great organization.
Schools on Wheels. I don't know if you've heard of them. Again, you know, so all of those organizations will give, you know, again, directly to those people in need, so, and that want help. So, you know, it's all a matter of what you want.
Right.
But often, you know, even your local, like, homeless shelters, food pantries, animal shelters, and, you know, places like senior centers that have a yard sale once a year to, again, help supplement the funds, or your local church or synagogue. Also, you know, places, big moms clubs or Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they, you know, again, have that yard sale once a year, or sale so that, rummage sale, so that they can collect those funds and then use them. So place, I mean, locally, there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, just contribute right in your own community.
Yeah, I just last week, I put two huge big garbage bags together for oh God, what was it? There's a place in Planet Aid.
Yes.
Planet Aid. I got some of my old clothes and shoes that I've had, you know, piled up for a while, and you know, went through them. You know, took me a few hours to get through them. Is this sentimental? No, it's not sentimental. You know, just, you know, stuff that doesn't fit or whatever. But there's still, some of them were actually still really brand new. There was one of them that I had got. There was a couple of them that still had the price tag on it. Right. You know, that I had gotten, and you know, I almost forgot why I had them. So I put them together, you know, two or three bags, and you know, for tax purposes, I basically did it, and it was well over $400 worth of clothing.
Yes.
So I mean, you can, you know, you really get a lot that more money back with you know, now people are getting ready to go to their accountant for, you know, for tax time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, often when I'm working with someone and it's a matter of donation, we try to keep an ongoing list of what they're donating so that they can put a value on it. So then if they want to claim it on their taxes, sure. You know, they have to, you know, just claim it and do an itemized list.
Certified professional helpful organizer Janine Cavanaugh is with us. Her number once again is 508-699-6652, 699-6652, or you can go to helpfulorganizer.com. All right, we've got meteorologist Jim Corbin also joining us once again. Jim, do you need a helpful organizer in Mansfield?
That's an interesting conversation. Actually, it's interesting. I wonder the difference between, you know, having, say, people that have things that's lying around, like in a storage facility, versus just having it and getting rid of it on, like, eBay, which I've never done. I've had a storage facility at Seekonk for, like, 13 years with the same junk in there, although it's not all junk, but it's good stuff. And I say to myself, why am I paying this month, every month, to have something in a storage facility? What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely encourage people to use a storage facility for temporary purposes.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you need
not 13 years, in other words.
No. But it does cost a lot of money. So, I mean, if you add up what you're spending on that, like you said, on that storage facility over this many years, you know, what could you have done with that money? And is it worth holding on to it for that long?
Yeah.
And how much longer will it need to go before you're going to make a decision? And what are your options? And do you have, you know, any different course of action that you could take so that, you know, it won't just, you know, eat away at your pocketbook.
Yeah. Well, I think of that every day. Not every day, but when I think of that, I'm in Mansfield now, but it's in Seekonk, where I have my storage facility. And it's like, you know, I have some good stuff when I had a house, you know, and I saved some of it.
Right.
You know, small things, not big furniture or anything, but mostly, you know, some items that are still probably good. And it's like, you know, am I almost thinking of myself as like a hoarder or something, or should I just get rid of it and give it to? I gave a lot of stuff away when I left the house in Attleboro. I used to live, my house, last house was in Attleboro, so I gave away a lot of it to people. But I kept some of it, and I'm thinking to myself, is this crazy that, you know? And you can't have a yard sale at a storage facility, right? That's the one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, and there's some good things in there. I want to say there's probably a couple of $1,000 worth of stuff in there. I'm thinking to myself, why am I still saving it, you know?
Well, you could also connect with someone that does sell things. You know, I've worked with estate sale people. A lot of times people are selling things online now, not just eBay,
well, like,
but on other
eBay
avenues.
So not just eBay, Craigslist or whatever these other things are.
Exactly. And there's companies that will do it for you now, too. So depending on how much you have.
Go to, like, your store, my store facility, and advise you, okay, this is good, we can do this. In other words, I would pay a fee for them to sell the stuff. Is that possible? Are there companies like that?
Yes, there are.
Really?
Yes, there are, yeah. Yeah.
What do they call? Like, what are the, you don't have to give the name of the companies, but what do they call that just... If I was to Google up selling companies, or what are they called?
I would go Google and do online estate sales or online resale. You know, sometimes you get, you know, car dealerships and things like that. Mm. But, you know, or you could do eBay sales or Craigslist sales.
And those, but you're saying those are companies that would you wouldn't have to take pictures of everything and put them online. They will actually go to, like, for example, a storage facility where I have a ton of stuff and say, okay, this is what we can do for you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of the companies, that's how they do it. They would go and take a picture. They would do it for you. They would go and take a picture, do any research that needed to be done to get the right price and the value of it. And then they would list it for you. And then what they do is they make an appointment with you to come and get it once it's all sold. And, you know, you connect via, you know, how much they owe you versus how much you owe them. And hopefully you'll get, you know, a check from it.
Yeah, because I've given away a lot of stuff, but I've thought over the last few years, maybe I can make at least a few bucks on the stuff that I have in the storage facility.
Right.
So you're saying if I Google something, and again, I know you don't want to say any company.
Oh, I don't mind saying it. Max is one of the companies.
That might be good for not just me, but anyone else listening. And I'm sure there are a lot of people like myself that have things in storage facilities since I sold my house. You know, over 10 years ago, that I still have, and it's still in really good shape. I mean, you know, I mean, so can you say one company or even you? I mean, would you do you do that kind of thing or?
No, I don't get into the selling. Okay. it's a lot of work.
What would be a company if people are listening that are in my situation? What would be a good company?
Max, M-A-X, sold, S-O-L-D. And they're online.
M-A-X sold, like one word?
Yes. Yep. Max Sold is one of the companies. Okay. Another company, I'm drawing a blank on their name, but it's a fairly new company. And,
You talk to them and you say, this is what I have. I have a storage facility. I'd like to take a look. Whatever your fee is. And if you
usually they don't charge you a fee to come and look at what you have. They might want to get an idea up front.
Like, I have inventory on a list on paper or online as well. I have all the inventory that I have in the storage facility. So I could send them that, and they would say, okay, that's interesting, and then go from there?
Exactly. Yes, that's a great place to start.
Hmm. Okay, Max Sold, M-A-X-S-O-L-D.
Yes.
Hmm. All right, well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed the chat with Dom, and very quickly, as you know, in terms of the reason I called is because of the weather, but again, we have the cold weather today, dry weather right through Friday. Right now, I just looked at some new data. It still looks like we could be on for the first significant snowfall of the season. Might even get in as early as late Friday evening, so just keep that in mind. If you have outdoor plans or driving around, it could come in as early as Friday evening, all day Saturday, and right now, there's some indications that if it stays all snow, it could be at least a foot of snow, so stay tuned.
How nice, huh? How nice, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, the last real big snowfall we had, of course, we had that onslaught last winter, but it was actually late February. We had a couple of minor issues in early March, but we had so much deep snow on the ground that it was, you know, it wasn't, we had already got through it. So it's actually been almost 11 months since we had a decent snowfall. So as much as it sounds crazy, we're actually due for a good snowfall.
Yeah, unfortunately, but that's for sure. But hey, it's winter, that's
it
for
is
sure.
Winter.
Well, thanks again. Great conversation. Thank you for the information. And Dom, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it.
Thank
All right.
you.
All right, Jim, thanks.
Bye.
All right, 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. Paul Healy going to be coming up at the top of the hour. When you even go onto your website, you know, we'll talk a little bit for a second on the classes as well, but you can also host a party too. One of your first things on your tips on your website, you can also host a party. You actually posted this on January the 1st. You can once a year host a party or an event for this.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much a tip because what it is hosting a party or an event is the number one motivator for organizing your space.
Right.
So that's what I recommend people do. So it's not necessarily that we're hosting an organizing party, but you know, it's a motivator because people see it as, you know, a way to encourage themselves to make it more urgent and more important to organize their space and spend some time doing it. And that's one of the big reasons that people call me as well is they call me because they're not setting the time aside or giving themselves time to actually work on these organizing projects, mm-hmm. or like Jim was saying, to, you know, address that storage unit. They're not giving themselves that time.
Right.
So by having someone else come and hold them accountable, and, you know, when they're spending money and when that's involved, it encourages them to make it more urgent and actually do it and tackle it.
You do have, as you said, on your website, you also have some classes and events that are going on. When's some of the next classes that you got?
Sure. I teach four different classes, and I teach them twice a year, mm-hmm. at Tri-County, which is the Regional Vocational Technical, mm-hmm. High School in Franklin, right. Mass. And they have an adult education program that's night classes. So my classes are at night from 7 till 9 p.m. And you have to register online, mm-hmm. or over the phone, right. with Tri-County. But the classes, I have four different subjects that I teach on. And I do teach other classes and give other presentations, you know, for groups or organizations. I just did one for Massachusetts Women in for Insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a monthly meeting. They asked me to come and speak. But a couple of classes that I teach are on paper management is one. The other is downsizing. And we talk about all different types of, you know, donation options, as well as, you know, are you ready to downsize and what you need to be start thinking about to get you on board and everybody on board, so to speak. And then we talk about controlling the clutter, you know, again, reclaiming that space and making that gap between order and disorder, you know, mm-hmm. shorter and shorter.
Right.
And then, you know, five steps to organizing. And it's pretty much, you know, a step-by-step process that helps people, you know, tackle one project at a time.
And the number at Tri-County, we know, is 508-528-5400, extension 126.
Yes, they just went online, too, so a couple of years ago. So you can do everything online, mm-hmm. if you want to.
Oh, that's a lot easier, that's for sure. In the last few minutes that we have, somebody out there who may, you know, they've been thinking about this, you know, procrastinating and stuff like that, is a place to start, if you're thinking about organizing things at your house or what have you, small items, like you also do cabinets, shelves, and stuff like that.
Right.
So they don't have to go into a huge room like an attic or a basement or a living room. If they want to start decluttering things, if they've got a messy place here and there, they can start with the smaller items.
Oh, definitely. You can start small or big. You know, I don't dictate where we start. Mm-hmm. I let the client choose, because again, they're going to be more motivated on their own with their own choice. So I let them choose whatever space. But sometimes starting smaller makes you, again, feel like you're accomplishing something, you're seeing progress, and it's more doable or manageable. I'd say whatever you're going to do that would help you organize or, again, reclaim that order, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't hold back.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it takes, you know, literally, it, you know, it's not going to take you long to do it. You've been doing it for 8 years. But normally, if you've got, you know, if you do have a bigger area that you need to declutter, it's going to take a little longer. But I mean, something like a closet or something like that, is it by the hour, or is it just by, you know, you spend an hour, 2-3 hours, you know, mm-hmm. especially, you know, doing one room?
Well, I have a 2-hour minimum with my clients, so we at least work for 2 hours, mm-hmm. again, because it's just the types of projects that I usually help clients with are bigger projects, because they're projects that are making them stressed and frustrated and overwhelmed. So they want, you know, to start with something bigger and see more of an impact. So there is a 2-hour minimum that I start with. But really, anybody can, you know, you can do it in 15-minute increments, right. however you want. Mm-hmm. So, but typically a space, you know, again, it depends on how much stuff is in there, mm-hmm. you know, and how much needs to be cleaned out and cleared out, and what they want their end result to be. You know, some people have, you know, oh, this is good enough and I'm happy with this, whereas mm-hmm. other people want to go to the, you know, all out, you know, so it's completely finished and they feel like it's completely done. And that point in that mark is different for everybody. So everyone is different in that regard. And also how quickly they make decisions really depends on the project. But usually a closet could take anywhere from, you know, again, if you're thinking that it's totally unorganized to get to that organized space, it's anywhere between, you know, 2 and 6 hours, depending on the size of the closet again. And then, you know, rooms can take anywhere usually, you know, depending on how big the room is, anywhere from like 6 hours or on up. It could be, you know, 14 hours, depending on what it is. You know, if it's a huge basement or a storage room that they've just kind of collected everything and where they want it to be, you know, done.
Right. And you will go back to them even if it takes a couple of days or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. We make repeat appointments so that we're working on the same project. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and of course, in the last couple of minutes that we have is, you know, like I said, first of all, congratulations on the 8 year you've been doing this.
Thank you.
You know, do you see a lot of things, you know, in the future for 2016? I'm sure that you've got some things, some other progress coming up as well as the classes as well. If once again, if people do want to get in touch with you, how can they?
They can get in touch with me via phone. It's 508-699-6652 or on my website, www.helpfulorganizer.com, or email me as well. It's just my name, helpfulorganizer.com.
All right. Sounds great. And hopefully, if everything works out with you, you've got the national organizations out there as well.
Yes.
You basically continuing meeting with them as well, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. I attend the meeting usually every month. Mm-hmm. The monthly meeting that we have for our chapter, but I'm also going to conference. The National Association has a conference every year, and this year it's in Atlanta in May, and so I'm going to be attending that. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, great. Excellent. And hopefully we'll see you down the line at another Business After Hours meeting with the Chamber of Commerce.
Thanks, Edmund.
All right. Janine Cavanaugh, you can get in touch with her by contacting her at 508-699-6652 or by her email or her website. It's helpfulorganizer.com. Janine, thanks once again for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I always tell my guests, the door's always open for people like you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Of course, I will be back here tomorrow morning. Paul Healy is up next. Have yourself a great day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back once again tomorrow at 6:00.